by the side of it, 11:58-98. And I can remember having that scripture laid on my heart when Andrew was in Kenya and there was bombing, so I couldn't speak to him for 10 days. And the Lord just said, wait on me. Lord, I pray for your word today. I pray that as I bring your word, you would have accomplished everything that you would do in the hearts of those who hear it. I pray that every word that I speak of my own will just fall to the ground, but every word that is written in your book, you will plant that seed in our hearts, Lord, and you will cause it to prosper, to flourish, and to grow, to bring glory to you. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I've entitled this week's message, Let Go and Let God. Last week I asked, is anything too hard for the Lord? Well, I looked at Jeremiah 33:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? We looked at the promises in the word, the times God did extraordinary things with ordinary people. We looked at Sarah, who at 89 years of age was given a promise of a son that only God could do. And we were reminded that no matter how long it's been, no matter where we are now in our walk, God hears and he answers our prayers through Christ Jesus. And we know that. I'm a bit naughty for my buts. I say, I know God, but sometimes, somewhere, somehow, along the way, we start to go it alone. We put our little plans in place and we get a little bit impatient. And you know, when we do that, we get a little bit cold. Our hearts start to get a little bit cold. Christmas 2021, I gave Andrew a gift of 2 tickets for the big church day out, which was in May 2022. He absolutely loved listening to music. It's what brought him to the Lord. He wouldn't come into the church for people. He wouldn't come into the church for me. He came into the church for music. There was a Peruvian pipe band called Perigma who shared their testimony. He came to the concert 4 months after I was saved, after I gave my heart to the Lord. There was a young American evangelist singer, James Moody. He sang scriptures. He actually sang at my baptism. Andrew came to listen to him. Steve Parsons, our beloved friend, he stayed in our house. He gave concerts. He spoke, took him around schools. He ministered. Andrew would drive him anywhere so that he could listen to him sing. He listened to the music, the word of God coming through men's melody, exactly the same as the hymn writers. And we've sung some beautiful worship songs this morning. Some of them are very, very old, some of them are newer, but it's the word of God. In the big church day out, there was a group called Casting Crowns. And those songs, and I was reading one of Andrew's diaries the other day, and the songs spoke specifically into our lives, specifically into his life, when he needed reminding of words of scripture and promises set to melody. Songs like I'll Praise You in the Storm, songs like Just Be Held, and they ministered. I know the word of God ministers, but sometimes just having music on in the background with the words of scriptures and promises of God are repeated to you, and they can minister to your spirit in a specific way. Music is a very important part of our lives. And the one chorus in Just Be Held, when you're on your knees and answers seem so far away, you're not alone, stop holding on and just be held. And sometimes in the waiting, it's such a hard and such a lonely place. And just as you think you're okay, things can crumble. The first verse of that song, Just Be Held, hold it all together, everybody needs you strong, but life hits you out of nowhere and barely leaves you holding on. And sometimes we can feel like that. Sometimes we can be going around and everything's fine, and for no apparent reason we can feel like that. Other times we've got a reason to feel like it. Second part of the chorus is, your world's not falling apart, it's falling into place. I'm on the throne, stop holding on and just be held. It's the promises of God wrapped up in a man's word and a man's melody, but they speak to us. Habakkuk 2 verse 3. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. That seems to contradict itself, but it doesn't. Our visions, where we hold our hopes and our dreams, our expectations of things to come. And it can be hard waiting. It can be hard when our dreams might seem dashed into pieces. But Habakkuk is told the vision, that is the dream, the revelation he's been given, is for an appointed time. It's for a set time. It's for a due season. And last week, when I spoke on, is anything too hard for the Lord? We looked at how God's timing is perfect. That set time that only God knows. But as the prophet Habakkuk said, it will speak, it will make itself known. There will come a time when your vision, when your expectation, your dream will become a reality. And I say, Lord, will it be this side of heaven? God knows. And finding rest in that waiting can be so difficult sometimes. We can feel desperate for God to move. And we preferably want him to move our way. And although we know God's timing is perfect, it is just that. It is God's timing. And he is outside of our time. Abraham, one of my younger grandsons, he's going to be 9 on the 17th of May. And we've been having a countdown for about the last month of how many days it is until his birthday, because he's impatient to wait. He has the promise of presents. He's going to be 9. That's massive, you know. And we're encouraged to hold on to those promises, not of our birthday necessarily. Galatians 6:9, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. We're encouraged to hold on. We're encouraged to keep going. And you know what? These promises can't be measured by our time. They can't be measured by the calendar that says 2023 going into 2024. They were made before time began. They're eternal promises. They're eternal promises. God knows us better than we know ourselves. And he knows how we can struggle. He knows how we can strive. He knows how we can lose patience. He knows when we're going to go it alone. Sometimes we try and make our dreams come to fruition. Throughout the Bible, there's examples of people who have done just that. And then they found themselves in trouble or in turmoil or in difficulties or in painful circumstances. And one of the main things that comes out of it is they can't find peace or they can't find rest. One of the first scriptures that I ever memorized was, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And I have had so many times when I have stood there repeating that to myself in tears. Where are you, Lord? But the joy of the Lord will be my strength. No peace, no rest, and it's not good, but our God is a faithful God. He never leaves nor forsakes us, but I can't find you. You're taking such a long time. Do you know we have, each and every one of us, whether we share it with anybody else or not, we have hopes and dreams that we ask and long for God to perform in our lives, to bring about in our lives. It might be that you're waiting for a loved one to give their heart to the Lord. It could be that God has laid on your heart a ministry. It could be that God has laid something on your heart that is so personal and so private to you, overcoming temptation, a habit. Do you know what? There are so many habits that we have that cause us anxieties, that cause us to be our own worst enemy, and yet we're told we can surrender, we can lay everything at the foot of the cross, that Jesus died for them. Our God is a faithful God. We can't outrun him. We can't hide from him. He says wherever we are, even if we're in the depths of the ocean, he's there. He's known us since before we were born. Psalm 139, I love that song. Before we were even formed in the womb, he knows us. So he knows our weaknesses and he knows our strength. He knows our aspirations. He knows the thoughts before we think them, the words before we say them, and yet we still try and do things ourselves when he doesn't perform them quickly enough or our way. Sarah, we learned last week, she tried to hurry the promise. She tried to hurry the promise that Abraham would be the father of many nations. It didn't go well. Not quite the same, but Jonah was asked to go and preach to the people in Nineveh. Tell them about God. They'll turn from their ways. He tried to outrun God. It didn't go well. Oh, my life, David. Now, I looked for examples for David. I give up. There's just so many. There's so many. He separated. He separated from his best mate, Jonathan. He had Saul after him. He runs off to a priest, Ahimelech. Might not even be saying it right. Doesn't matter, he runs off to a priest. He says to him, why are you on your own with all your men? He didn't say, I've just left David, I'm on the run for my life, I'm not in the best place or whatever. No. He says, the king sent me on special business, so urgent, I've sent him all somewhere else, and I'm here. Can I have some bread, please? It was the priest's holy bread. Not supposed to be eaten by the priests. The priest said, well, if your men haven't sort of been with women, if they're pure and holy, you can have it, you can eat it. So he's like, yeah, that's fine. Have you got a sword I can have, please? This is David, King David. He killed Goliath with a stone. Can I have a sword, please? Well, actually, yes, Goliath of Gath's sword is behind the altar over there. You can take that. Worldly things. King David, a man after God's own heart, he lies to the priest, he takes the enemy's sword. Not only that, then he gets to Gath, he thinks, oh, I'll hide you, and then remembers that they're after him because he's killed their hero or whatever else, and pretends to be mad. Do you know what, is that taking matters into your own hands? David had the promise he was going to be king. There's loads of other things he did wrong, but we might not go to those extremes. But let me tell you, God knows. For all of this, David had a repentant heart. He wrote in Egypt, create in me a clean heart. The sacrifices of God, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, these, O God, you will not despise, in Psalms 51. He said, sorry. He said, sorry. And he had to wait. Joseph, look at the preparation that Joseph had to go to before the Lord raised him back up again. He was abandoned. He was in a pit. Prodigal son. Prodigal son. They had to come to their senses. They had to repent and turn back, let go, and let God. Even this week, Monday and Tuesday seemed to be 36 hours long. Got to Wednesday and I was pretty tired. I wasn't doing too badly. I was thinking, right, I'm spending time in prayer and spending time in the Word. And then time just run away. Do you know, the enemy comes to rob, to steal and to destroy. How easily distracted I was this week. How easily distracted can we be by the things that we think should be? By the things that are taking too long? By the things that start to consume and occupy our thoughts? 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 56 says, "Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all his good promises, which he promised through his servant Moses." This is King Solomon encouraging his people. He's encouraging Israel with these words. Hundreds of years after Moses, Joshua, Saul, David, now Solomon, not one word of a promise of God had failed. God did not, God has not, and God will not fail. If it's in his word, if you have received a promise from the Lord, it will not fail. And can we allow these words to speak to us again today? Can we refresh our hopes? Can we refresh our dreams and our visions? And can we do it again tomorrow? And can we do it not just because it's a new day, not just because it's a new week, but because it's a new you? I was reminded, 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And I know that we're told to put off the old man and walk in the newness of the Spirit of God. But it's a daily walk. Sometimes it's a minute-by-minute walk. Everything that I need to walk this walk for the Lord, everything that I need for God to fulfill his purposes in my life, everything that I could want or wish for or hope for or have promised in the Lord are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And everything that I need to stand and wait patiently and expectantly is in me. Because Christ has put it in me. I am a new creature. I am a new creation. Love that song. I am a new creation. No more in condemnation. Here in the love of Christ I stand. If I've got everything in me to live this life for Christ, then why do I try and do it my way? I've got the potential for so much more than I can even begin to hope or imagine. You have the potential for so much more. And yet we limit ourselves to thinking, God isn't doing it. God hasn't done it. Will God do it? I will make a contingency plan. And you might say, oh no, I don't do things like that. I guarantee every single one of us does. If we can read about it through men and women in the Bible doing, why are we any different? Because they were just like us. There is no temptation that has beset us that hasn't gone before. And yet God makes a way out of it. And when we're in that place, it's really, really difficult to find peace or to rest. The ability to rest and the ability to have peace is a choice. It's a choice. I choose to trust you. I was listening to that Casting Crown songs yesterday. And one of the things that I have found that, I can't say I struggle with it, that I am at a loss because the vision that I had and the promises that God has given me for my life, I don't know how they'll be fulfilled. But God does. And there's a verse in that song, Just Be Held, and not a tear is wasted. In time you'll understand, I'm painting beauty with the ashes and your life is in my hands. And I thought, it's true. And I turned to Psalm 56 and verse 8, you number my wanderings, put my tears in your bottle, are they not in your book? Our tears are recorded. Our tears are liquid praise. Our tears come from a place where our spirit is often so broken that we can't put into words. And when you feel like that, it's very difficult to have rest and peace. The strange thing is quite an anomaly. I can feel a peace in my inner self in the midst of the turmoil and the tears. But the fact that God records those times shows me that even when I'm trying to work things out myself, even when we try to figure out how, what, where and when and why it isn't sooner, God's doing things in our lives, He is so merciful. He's so gracious. He's so loving. Read Isaiah 61, the first three verses. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. To console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes and the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. There's a little, it's called Kingdom Dynamics in my Bible, a little explanation for the garment of praise, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The Hebrew root for garment, atar, shows praise as more than a piece of clothing casually thrown over our shoulders. It literally teaches us to wrap or to cover ourselves, that the garment of praise is to leave no openings through which hostile elements can penetrate. This garment of praise repels and replaces the heavy spirit. This special message of instruction and hope is for those oppressed by fear or doubt. Put on this garment, a warm coat from our closet only resists the cold wind when it's put on. When distressed, be dressed with praise and act according to God's word. Sometimes waiting for things in the world can be hard. A holiday, a baby. Andrew couldn't wait to go to see Castle Crowns with his ticket. The hopes and the visions that we have in the Lord, they can seem even more hard, especially if the vision isn't quite as you'd thought it was going to be. Have you ever experienced the washing machine syndrome? Where you're waiting and you're pushing and you're trying to make things happen and your stomach's in knots and your neck and your shoulders are in knots. And the more you try, the more difficult it is to feel God. And the reality of it is you can't feel him because he's standing over there watching you do his job for him and trying to figure out. And he'll allow us to do that. And when we're in it, we start to get stressed about things. This is what happens when we try and do things our way. When we struggle to wait. But God knows. And just like the prodigal son, when he tried to make things happen his way, he came to a place where He tried to make his vision a reality and it didn't work out. And he just had to come back, repent, say sorry. The Father was there waiting with open arms. Let go. Let God. I said before, the enemy has come to rob, to steal and to destroy. How long do you think you need to wait? It's been quite a long while now. I can't see how that will possibly happen. How can it? Everything's changed. God goes before us. He's with us. Just like the prodigal son jumped the gun. It wasn't what he thought. God is full of grace. He's full of mercy. He's just waiting for us to step back. He's waiting for us to just get to that point again where we say, I trust you. I know. I believe you. Refresh my vision. Refresh the plans that you have for me. Sometimes we might even go the other way. God's given me this vision. I'm going to go and do it now. And we don't wait on his timing. I've done that as well. You might be in a place where you think, I do need to do this. I believe it is, it's the right thing now. Just like Joseph could have done when he was telling his brothers to bow down before him, remember? And then he tripped up and fell. And I can remember Andrew once saying, I love spontaneous. It's like a match to kindling. A no-risk assessment Christian. I love them. But the only thing is, just make sure God's filled the pool before you dive in the deep end. I love to be reminded that God is the God of the impossible. He sees it. He will see to it. I know that he has a plan for my life and a plan for yours. I'm going to read that again today, Jeremiah 29:11-13. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I sometimes need to be reminded to let go and let God. And to take my hands off the things that the Lord's got planned for me. We write things on our calendars. I've just had a look at the calendar in the office now. See what's coming up, where and when. I've read out the announcements. It's what we plan, what we hope for. There are areas and things in my life that only God knows that he is promised me. There are things in your lives. You have hopes and you have dreams and you have expectations that are between you and God. And God holds those. He holds those closely to his heart. In his time, he is the God of the impossible. He is the God who is able. He is the God who will hold you. Until that time. I love Psalm 27 that you read, Diane. It's got lots of beautiful promises in there. In the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me upon a high rock. On top of my problems, on top of my disappointments, on top of the dreams that I think could be crushed. God will lift up my head. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. We shall see the goodness of the Lord in our lives. Jesus promised before he left this earth in John 14:27, he promised, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the Lord gives, do I give unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, and neither let it be afraid. Our hearts can be troubled quite easily. Minute by minute, sometimes I'm finding I'm trusting, I'm troubled. I'm okay, I'm not. We are fragile beings. We are fearfully and wonderfully made, but we are so easily broken. Our minds are so precious. We're told to guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And I'm currently seeing a young lady whose mind has been broken. Because of circumstances, because of false promises made by a man, but made by life, because she's looked in the wrong places for the fulfillment of her expectations and her dreams. And that's just one person. I've been in the mental health department of Ashford Hospital several times this week. And I am absolutely devastated by the few people. Literally, I've just been inside the door in a waiting small visitors area. There are such young people there. Beautiful, beautiful young people. Aimlessly walking, there's this one young lady, and she looks perfectly okay, and then she'll just dance. And her mind is broken. We're so easily distracted. We're so easily pulled aside. How blessed are we? We know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We know we've been sealed with the Holy Spirit. We know that wherever we are, however far we fall, however much we try and go our own way, we know that just like the prodigal son, our father's there with his arms held open, saying, okay, are you ready to come back now? Let go and let God. But broken people with broken hearts and broken minds are in places like Ashford Hospital, dependent on the world to try and fix them, in a hopeless situation. People need the Lord. We are the walking Word of God. We are Jesus with skin on to some people. We can bring that hope. Even when we're trying to fix up our own lives and we might not be in the right place, I pray, God, use me in spite of me to bring you glory. Many, many times. As a matter of fact, I pray that every time before I even stand up here. People need the Lord. Hebrews 6:12 says, do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. You might say, patience isn't my strong point. I'll remind you, you are a new creature when you are born again. The Spirit of God dwells in us, and He enables us to wait patiently, to wait hopefully, to wait expectantly, for Him to bring about the visions and the dreams, the expectations, the revelations that He has placed in our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. The things that are of ourselves, I'm not saying that He will put to naught. He knows the desires of our hearts. He hears the cry of our hearts. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. Doesn't mean you have a new BMW or a £1 million house or you'll win the lottery. Doesn't mean any of that. It means the things of God. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Which strengthens me? The things of God, the things that will build you up, the things that will build you up to help build His kingdom, these things will come to fruition. So remain steadfast. Faith looks to the one who promises. And today I will say we walk by faith and not by sight. There may be few here. You can't see the angels. Because where the saints are gathered, they are there. God sees our hearts, He knows our hopes, He knows our dreams, He knows our crushings, but He is able to lift us. He's able to give us rest and peace. That washing machine syndrome, that's our doing. Let go and let God. Father, I thank you today. I thank you for the reminder throughout your word that you are there, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have been since before the beginning. You will be there at the end of our time. You are eternal. You are outside of time. Lord, grant us your peace. Grant us your rest as we hope and as we wait expectantly for those things which we can't see. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Our faith and our hope are in you, Lord. Our strength is in you, Lord. Lord, we thank you today for your word. We thank you for this building. We thank you for our fellowship. And we ask in Jesus' name that you will continue to guide us, to strengthen us, to raise us up in the name of Jesus Christ, that we shine a light into this dark, broken world, that wherever we are, we can bring the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ in whatever way that we can, be it a smile, a hug, a helping hand, and even through words if able. And Lord, we give you all the glory. Amen.
Thank you, Craig.
Waiting here for you.
May the weight upon the Lord to renew their strength. We shall walk freely, we shall run and not faint, we shall rise up on wings of eagles.
Everybody needs a strong. He sings in the wrong key for me. He's
writing no. You all sing in the wrong key for me.
Hang on. When you're tired and worried, chained by your control, spirit of me surrender. You're not here next Sunday then?
No.
Oh,
I don't know.
Oh, lovely.
I saw the big church day out as well, same as Casting Crowns Without Ear, so it's like rent collective with one of those mammoth ears.
It was fabulous, like, because actually I was listening to Rent Collective. This is a revival happened this morning because I think I love whole genres of music, loads. But sometimes for seasons in your life, specific songs will minister and it was just a joy to be able to go. And you had three hypos during those two concerts. I was spent most of my time in food queue.
And that as well, but it was the living in tent bit that I couldn't
do
anymore.
I didn't. I booked a
trying to get a place in the area.
Shall I leave the surface on, yeah?
Oh, yeah, we can do it on that now. If I don't take it home, I can't do it.
No, have I turned it off?